So our last paper is by Sarah Kimball, presenting on Les Injustices de nos Lois, Feminist Legal Thought and Practice in the Belle Epoque. Sarah is Associate Professor at the New School of Learning at DePaul University and is co-editor of New Perspectives on Modern European Women's Legal History and numerous articles on women, the law, and feminism in the Belle Epoque. And she has a forthcoming Women, Feminism, and the Law in Modern France, Justice Redressed.
No, so you should have a chronology that I'm going to refer to. There are a couple extra copies up front if anyone missed it.
Thank you, Sarah. And without further ado, let me dive in. I wanted to take you first to 1905, when Hyacinthe and Camille Bellelon, two sisters who worked as feminist writers, began attending criminal trials and issuing unofficial verdict under the name of Le Jury Féminin, the women's jury. They published their judgments in the Journal des Femmes over 5 years, totaling about 80 cases. In their verdicts, they exonerated defendants or assigned responsibility independently from the official all-male juries. Their articles always compared their own decision-making relative to the official juries in ways to expose gender bias in the justice system, to condemn how all male juries perpetuated androcentric standards and reinforced the status quo in moral and social terms. Their articles on legal cases challenged the law's guarantee of equality by exposing the ways in which men and women were treated differently and, from their point of view, unfairly, often due to the double standard of behavior. By attending trials and publishing verdicts, they engaged in a form of protest, a campaign to demand that equal numbers of men and women be seated on criminal juries as a fulfillment of the promise of their democratic republic. In this paper, I want to place the Bellelon sisters' protests in the larger history of the debate on women's admission to the criminal juries in Belle Epoque France. Their form of protest was unique, as far as I can tell, but it was just one manifestation of the feminist political action that included petitions, speeches, books, and debates that eventually led to at least three legislative proposals introduced in the Chamber of Deputies in 1901, 1927, 1929. In the process of debate, proponents questioned whether female defendants had a right to a jury of their peers, whether exclusively male juries undermined the democratic system, and if jury service was a civic duty for all citizens. Even as supporters of female jurors argued for reform, however, they often drew on perceptions of women's difference, a strategy that risked inadvertently strengthening the very gender hierarchy that feminists sought to challenge. Who could serve on a criminal jury in the Third Republic changed over time, but from 1872 to 1908, lists of potential jurors were drawn from among French citizens aged 30 or older, those who were eligible to vote. So foreigners, women, minors, criminals, all excluded from eligibility, but so too before 1908 were servants, day laborers, and the illiterate. Potential jurors in Paris were identified by arrondissement, by the Justice of the Peace and other local officials who drew up lists of potential jurors on an annual basis. These procedures resulted in a disproportionately bourgeois jury, and there was sort of miserly compensation that was heavily restricted. In 1908, however, Minister of Justice Aristide Briand expanded eligibility of jurors to include workers, and a separate bill also mandated substitute wages so that juries could represent a broader base of male citizens. But more about this 1908 change in a moment. As you can see from the chronology handout, the claim that women had a right to sit on juries occurred at least as early as the 1830s, but as a political movement, it gained steam only from the 1880s. At this later point, claims for women's jury service argued this right as a sort of on three points. That one, it was a matter of fair treatment for women to be included in the criminal juries. Two, it was an instrument through which women might establish their political standing as citizens. And three, as a means to forge a single standard of morality. In 1880, lawyer Léon Giraud made the moral point when he criticized the exclusively male jury system as useless, stating that the sword of justice failed to function because juries did not hold men accountable for seduction and abandonment. As a consequence of lax juries, he concluded, cases of infanticide had doubled between the 1820s and the 1870s. Giraud's colleague, Hubertine Eau Claire claimed mixed-sex juries as a principal goal on her electoral program of her group Solidarité des Femmes in 1885. Given Eau Claire's focus on equal treatment for men and women under the law in this period, it seems possible that she not only wanted women's right to participate in the judicial system, but also sought for their names to be added on the list for each arrondissement from which both voters and jurors were drawn. By 1891, Eau Claire had expanded her demand to claim both the judiciary and the juries for the French Republic, stating that they should, where men and women will be judged, those juries and the bench should be composed of both men and women. Her colleague in 1884 then submitted a petition to the Chamber of Deputies requesting the right for women to participate in the criminal juries. Faithfully, though, this petition also asked for the suppression of Penal Code Article 324 that had excused men from murdering their wives in the event that their lives were in danger, is one part of it, and then if they had interrupted an act of adultery, as Jean had referred to. The deputies rejected this two-part request with a rather opaque counter-argument that the increase in crimes of passion were insufficient to justify women's admission to the jury. This original petition had likely rationalized that women were needed in those specific criminal cases. In 1886, the international feminists joined Eau Claire to commit to pursuing women's place on juries in order to establish a single moral standard. The French League for Women's Rights leader Marie Bonneville and recent law school graduate Jean Chauvin called for the admission of women to criminal juries as a way to destabilize Article 324 and to begin to dethrone men from their position of superiority in marriage. The Congress also demanded coherence in the legal treatment of women under the penal and the civil codes. They wanted adult women to be recognized as responsible, not just for their legal errors, but as citizens who were employed, who ran households, who paid taxes, and thus were eligible to create and enforce laws. These debates harken back to the effort in the early 1880s to test the meaning of the legal terminology tous les Français, in the hopes that it could be understood to include women in rights as well as responsibilities. Feminist activism provoked a response from a substitute du procureur général by the name of Maurice Thorier, who defended all male juries. Law was men's work, he declared at a law conference in Dijon in 1896. Moreover, he said, women lacked respect for the law. He insisted that women were both more impulsive and empathetic than men, a combination that would guarantee inferior jurors. He urged his colleagues to oppose all feminist demands in order to protect the current judicial organization and gender relations. Thurier's defensive posture seemed an attempt to shore up masculine privilege that was under attack. Indeed, feminist activism on the issue gathered more endorsements as the French League for Women's Rights put the issue of women's jury service on their political platform in 1897. While feminist political organizations called for equal treatment, another approach to reform advocated that women serve on criminal juries only in certain cases. Jurist Raoul de la Grasserie, a prolific writer and astute reader of legal scholarship on women's rights, also supported women's participation in jury service. He called for the reorganization of the judiciary to be more inclusive from both the perspective of class and gender, and he advocated female jurors for trials involved in the charges of infanticide, or where men's irresponsibility and immorality was the root cause of women's troubles, such as rape or seduction, abandonment or infidelity. He believed that men were unreliable jurors in these types of trials. Thus, he wrote, in this type of judgment, we must reestablish complete equality, a primary and irreducible justice. This can be done by introducing women into the composition of the juries for these types of cases, such as infanticide. For de la Grasserie, women were essential to the composition of the criminal jury because equality was the foundation of true justice. The first example of legislation proposing admission of women to the criminal juries appears to have been the work of radical socialist deputy Gustave Adolf Hubar, and he's associated with Eau Claire and other feminist colleagues. In May 1901, he proposed that an equal number of men and women, six of each, to the jury, but he set the minimum age for women at 40, in contrast to men's at 30, so as to exclude women with young children. Journalist André Terry, writing for La Fronde, responded enthusiastically to this proposal, suggesting that if admitted to the jury, women could participate in civic education and be dignified by their collaborative role in the work of the community. A pessimistic Eau Claire recognized the bill's language as too restrictive for admitted women under the rhetoric of citoyenne. For these citoyennes to be admitted to lists of eligible jurors, their official political identity must first be assured, and it was not. The occasion prompted dramatist Marcel Prévost to argue on the front page of Le Figaro that women were too passionate, too engaged with political causes to be good jurors. He wrote, "See with what force, with what violence even, a woman defends the ideas that she has adopted. See her fight in the Crusades against alcoholism, against prostitution. Observe her infatigable religious fanaticism. Woman loves ideas. She has an appetite for problems of conscience. Her curiosity is endless." Apparently this is all disqualifying, right? Hubbard's proposal was debated in the press, but it was not, as far as I can tell, taken up by the Chamber of Deputies between 1901 and 1903. The years that I looked for reaction to it. The admission of women into the legal profession as avocats by the law of December 1, 1900, and the possibility of female jurors, seemed more likely, after 1900, after the admission of women as lawyers, the possibility of female jurors seemed all the more likely to many commentators, including Turgeon. He protested that women were moving too quickly into these virile professions and making presumptuous claims to justice. Women, he suggested, know only how to use the sword of justice, not the balance. And Turgeon urged that the criminal and civil courts maintain a monopoly on justice for our male judges. Yet Turgeon's critics multiplied, and they argued that the male monopoly on justice was a sign of partiality, a failure of justice itself. French feminist Marie d'Abadie d'Arras argued that the presence of women on juries would result in more effective punishment for crimes of passion. She claimed that women recognized the necessity of social repression and were less likely than men to absolve criminals because we are less often the culprits. More radically, feminists argued that the current male-exclusive system was a perversion of the principle of justice. This was Belgian educator Isabel Getty de Gamon's point. Criminal procedures should forbid anyone from being party and judge in the same cause, she wrote. In the case of infanticide, men's sexual behavior seemed absolved while women's was punished. In this debate, jury reformers were asking, what does it look like to have a jury of one's peers? Who constituted a peer in a democratic society? And at the dawn of the 20th century, the exclusion of female jurors seemed fundamentally unfair to a society constituted by both men and women. I want to return now to the unique form of protest by the Belle Élan sisters, who used an unofficial jury composed entirely of volunteer women as a form of protest and a demonstration of women's ability to render judgment. Hyacinthe and Camille were known for their multivalent support of feminist causes, moral and political. Their jury féminin critique the relationship of gender and law while promoting the value of exclusively female juries to judge female defendants. Observing cases in the Cour d'Assises in the Department of the Seine, their verdicts called attention to such concerns as domestic violence, child abuse, poverty, and unequal moral standards. By providing an alternative jury, they made a symbolic claim to equal rights for women as members of the national body. Les Françaises, comme à tous les Français. They claimed a duty participation in the judgment of criminal wrongdoing. For contemporary observers, the effort of the jury féminin meant that female lawyers were no longer the only women engaged in reflection and analysis on juridical questions. And valuably, they modeled how to think about guilt and innocence, extenuating circumstances, and sentencing by publishing their discussions in the newspapers. Reviewing their articles from 1905 to 1910, I suggest that their central contribution was a critique of male bias in law. The Belle Élan sisters argued repeatedly that men did not understand the circumstances that led women to commit or to be accused of having committed infanticide or abortion. In the critique of one infanticide case, the feminist juror suggested that the justice system ignored the first crime, that of seduction, and thus had overlooked the real criminal, a man. In a 1907 trial in which a woman was accused of killing an abusive male partner, both the official and unofficial juries called for acquittals, but for different reasons. The men's jury reasoned that the defendant was not responsible for her behavior, while the jury féminin argued that she had a right to self-defense. Moreover, the feminists argued that societal expectations unjustly tolerated the physical abuse of women by men. One case of female criminality does not fit the pattern of this criticism of male behavior, but rather served to question male jurors' judgment. In the unfortunate case of Jeanne Weber, the ogresse de la Goutte d'Or, she was accused of the strangulation of numerous children, arrested, tried, and acquitted several times before she was finally declared mentally ill. Each time she was released, Weber subsequently engaged in child murder that doctors erroneously attributed to other causes, such as disease. In Weber's 1906 trial, the women's jury doubted her proclamation of innocence and recommended that she could be confined. By contrast, the male official jury recommended acquittal. With the benefit of hindsight, Hyacinthe Bellelon could assert in 1908 that if women had been included on the jury in one of Weber's initial trials, future crimes could have been prevented. One of the factors that changed the dynamic for the women's jury was the presence of feminist lawyers in the courtroom. When the protest juries attended a case argued by the intrepid feminist lawyer Maria Veron, they heard their own opinions reflected in Veron's arguments. They praised Veron. I don't know what's going on out there. They praised Veron because, in their terms, she tipped the scales of balance on the side of pity when she described the female defendant as a victim of her social condition, whose crime had been a result of her own desperation. Veron's persuasive rhetoric, which invariably included a critique of gender and power, contributed to the female defendant's acquittal. While it was certainly Veron's tendency to contextualize crimes while respecting women's agency, the rare feminist lawyer was no substitute for gender equity on criminal juries. While the jury féminin was, as far as I can tell, unique, it coincided with other efforts to educate the public on gender bias in law at the time. Lawyer Maurice Bokanowski, who wrote a series of instructional articles on les femmes en justice in La Française, did so for several years, 1906 to 1908. And then Maria Veron takes up the sort of same title and carries on more articles of the same. But in 1907, the staff of La Française declared itself open to all women in need of legal aid. Women's inequality under the law was understood as an impediment in their pursuit of justice. Bokanowski and Veron met, advised, and apparently even loaned money to women in this Legal Aid for Women initiative. Their purpose was to offset the problem that women did not have equal access to legal knowledge, and they were arguably disadvantaged in trials with all male juries. A breach in the bulwark of judicial organization occurred in 1908 when the jury pool was opened to members of the working class. In January 1908, Briand had issued a circular that opened the jury list to workers, and a concurrent bill had created a fund for replacement wages. This democratizing reform prompted a renewed effort among feminist advocates of mixed-sex juries. Eau Claire immediately published an open letter to Briand, urging that he fulfill democratic ideals and open the jury to women, too. Eau Claire insisted that the intelligence and heart of both sexes were necessary to determine the culpability or innocence of the accused. And within days, Parisian lawyers and independent feminist Hélène Mirapolsky reinforced this demand, arguing that men and women were equally prepared to fulfill jury duty from the point of view of basic education. A jury did not need to resolve legal problems, she noted, but rather the juror must form a decision based on the evidence provided in court. In an era of increasing specialization in knowledge and the rise of expertise, however, the possibility of diversifying mediocre jurors held little appeal for some sociologists and criminologists who argued for the suppression of this baroque institution, the common jury, altogether. Those who supported reforming juries did so because they recognized it as a democratic institution, where justice should be done by all for all. Criticism of juries as outmoded did not seem to dampen feminist efforts, however. In 1908, at the Women's Rights Congress, Hyacinthe Bellilon denounced unisexual or all-male juries as unjust. She characterized the monopoly of criminal justice as illogical, odious, and even shocking, because she perceived this monopoly to be self-serving. She condemned men for the prohibition of paternity suits, stating, "Who decreed this? Man. Man has misappropriated to himself the right to abandon, or rather to ignore, those to whom he gives life. Why, then, does he have to take care of their fate on the day that the woman who he has dishonored makes them disappear? For it can be precisely the one he has made mother, whom he is called to judge, to condemn." Bellilon described laws not only as disadvantageous, but as a sword that struck down women and the innocent. She recalled that her jury féminin had created, was created in the face of injustices, scandals, and crimes, because men had failed to acknowledge their role as accomplices in such crimes as abortion. And Bellilon called upon the Congress to support mixed-sex criminal juries and to declare that if juries were unequal number of men and women, then the verdicts would then be invalidated. The Congress then, there's some confusion in the historical record on this 1908 Congress, how they voted. The Bellilon then read a letter from a sociologist and a lawyer who called for single-sex, female-only juries. The group voted for that, but then after the conference is over, Jean Odo Defleu says, no, we voted for mixed-sex juries. So I still have to sort of get to the bottom of this. It's possible that they wanted both, female-only juries for specific cases and also mixed-sex juries. But there's conflict in what we've got. The idea of sort of both types of juries, single-sex juries to judge women, but also perhaps mixed-sex juries to judge men, is something that very much existed in mainstream reformist literature at the time. There's an inspector general by the name of Camille Grenier who endorsed this kind of reform. But he also acknowledged that entrance of women into the jury pool on equal terms would constitute a revolution for women's rights. So briefly, I just have two more points to make, because I wanted to address just how revolutionary this proposal was to admit women to the criminal juries at the time. From Maria Veron's point of view, it was a good thing to accept women into the juries, but it was also a path to secure women's municipal suffrage, she thought. She was enthusiastic about the idea that you could take a circular that the Minister of Justice could open up these jury lists by one act. And she said, all we need is one minister who is assez féministe to make this kind of change, and then they could bypass the whole legislative debates on municipal suffrage. So she saw great potential there for reform through this kind of strategy. And in the autumn of 1908, Briand offered his support for the possibility of female jurors. But as far as I can tell, this did not translate into action at the time. And it's really the political issue that gets that ties things up. And Au Clair was very frustrated. She said that, you know, the way things are and the host of vexing laws meant that all French people lived under masculine tyranny. In conclusion, the efforts to carve out a place for female jurors reveals ways in which the members of French legal and feminist communities were considering the significance of gender inexperience as valuable in the interpretation of law. On the basis of different ways of knowing, many proponents insisted that justice could not be fulfilled without admission of women to the jury system, because the exclusion of an entire class of people eclipsed the possibility of justice itself. This was one component of the history of legal feminism that developed in the Belle Époque that connected experience to analysis to reform, all of which was predicated on the recognition of gender difference and the malleability of law. Before the outbreak of the First World War, the campaign to open jury service to women was also a vehicle to criticize women's subordinate position in French law and society, aligned with other efforts to create a unified moral code and address social inequalities. Juries are sites of participatory justice, whose members are constituted by the community, embodying the community. Jury participation by workers and the poor that was facilitated by the 1908 reform has been recognized by scholars as part of the expansion of the definition of the individual. The arguments in favor of women's admission to the jury system contain the recognition of women's autonomy and that their capacity to engage as full citizens in the life of the community. In practice, however, criminal juries composed by men and women in France would be delayed until November 17, 1944, 7 months after the enfranchisement of women, and it is only at this moment do women achieve symbolic parity with men as voters, potential candidates, and jurors. Thank you.